all the invites on all of our buffet. We all go to church with me on Sunday for Thanksgiving.
That's nice.
No presents, that's all I want. So there.
That's what the kids say. They come every Friday night and they go, and don't tell us nothing aren't allowed because you already found them.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. Boy, man, we need a monitor over here with this group. y'all better stay in line now. That's right. Amen. Y'all ready for some announcements? Good morning. Who's going hunting this week? Anybody hunting? No hunters in here? Come on now. Huh? But you're not going this week. You already got yours. Amen. What'd you get? A little 10-point? Amen. Like, is that like a buck, a 10-point buck? How much do you weigh? What is it? 200 pounds. Where'd y'all shoot that thing at? Really? Day setter. All right, man. Have y'all eaten it yet? Okay. Well, come on. All right. Yeah, man. All right. Amen, amen. All right. Well, mark your calendars. Good to see everybody today. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. We know we got some folks out traveling, and we pray for their safety as they make their way to family and then come back home. For those that are going to imbibe this coming week and have you just tie one on, please keep each other safe. Don't let anybody that's had too much get out on the road. Just take those keys, call them an Uber, make them sleep on the couch. Amen. You put them on that couch, the next time they come to your house, they won't drink too much. Amen. They know they got to sleep on that couch. Amen. So just help them out. Amen. Let's don't have any crazy going on. All right. But after that, mark your calendars for the annual adult Christmas party. This is always a good time and a great time of fellowship. September, December the 10th, that's on a Saturday. Did I say September? Saturday, December the 10th. That's better. Amen. Saturday, December the 10th at 5 p.m. All adults are welcome to join in the fun and fellowship. Our meal, as always, will be catered by Picositos. They always do a fabulous job. They know us across the street. They always do us a great job that day when we go and pick the food up. The menu will include beef and chicken fajitas, rice, beans, and all the trimmings. And ladies, please bring a dessert to share. And men, if you think you can make a dessert, you can bring one as well. Amen? So the cost is $15. And if that is an issue, please see me. And we'll help you take care of that. And you can sign up and pay Virginia Irvine by Wednesday, December the 7th. And then men and women, as always, we got to bring a gift of $10 to $15 so we can have that church-sanctioned stealing. Amen? That's always a good, it's always a good time. I want to take your gift. I like your gift better. And then how many times can it be stolen? Three times? And then it's froze. Amen? And so whoever is the last person, the third person to get it always gets to keep it. It's a great time. It is a hoot and a half. All right? So, and then that's on that announcement. And then tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, we'll be doing the men's and women's Bible study over here in the Sunday school building. And that'll be your men's and women's Bible study right before Thanksgiving. So that's Monday at 7 o'clock next door. And then we got some birthdays for you. Amen, amen? All right. On the 21st. Peggy Murray's going to have a birthday. All right, Miss Peggy. Miss Peggy, how old are you going to be, girl? 82. Come on with it. All right, Miss Peggy. And then on the 25th of November, Miss Loopy Holder is having a birthday. I don't see her today, but amen, amen. All right. Any other birthdays? Anybody else? All right, okay, very good. All right, birthdays out of the way. Christmas party out of the way. Anything else? All right, all right. Let's. Are y'all ready to sing? Let's sing. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Well, if you would stand, if you can, we're going to sing Breathe.
Sinner, I came, took of the honor. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day you've given us today, Lord. Just to worship you, we thank you for this worship music and the choir and Jeremiah and Lori leading it. Lord, we're just blessed with that, Lord. We just thank you for them blessings. We just thank you for individuals we have today. We welcome them today, Lord, and we thank you for them to be here today and just watch over them. And, Lord, we just ask you to be with the pastor today as he brings that message today that Holy Spirit just work through him, just flow out through this church and touch somebody's soul, Lord. And Lord, may it touch all our souls, Lord. And somebody come forth and give their life to you, Lord. It'd be a great day for that, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you again for everything you've given us, Lord. We, you know, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, our home, our job, the sky, the tree, the ground we walk on, Lord. It all comes from you. It's all about you. Lord, and we just give them just a small portion back to you, Lord. And we thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. May blessings be upon you, precious baby. May favor rest upon your family. May your future be a holy legacy. May blessings be upon you, precious baby. May he bless you in your coming. May he bless you in your going. May your heart be ever knowing the blessings of the Lord. May blessings be upon your children's children. May favor rest upon your family. May your future be a holy legacy. May blessings be upon your children's children. May he bless you in your coming. May he bless you in your going. May your heart be ever knowing the blessings of the Lord.
Church today? We got any? Okay. All right. Hey, I know you. Amen. Now, I didn't mention it, but let me mention it now. We're going to have a food after the service. It's our big Thanksgiving rally. It's going to be good. Amen and amen. And then thank you, visitors, for being here. And are our visitors always welcome to our fellowships? Amen. We want them there. We got plenty of food, so come on. And those of you with us online, man, think about it. You could watch us online and then show up to eat. No problemo. We'd love to have you either way. Amen. All right. Well, how did we get here to this Thanksgiving, huh? How did we get here? Thanksgiving has been celebrated, if you did not know, Thanksgiving has been celebrated nationally on and off since 1789. It began with a proclamation by President George Washington after a request by Congress. Now, one of our other founding presidents, Thomas Jefferson, he chose not to observe the holiday in its celebration. And so it was kind of an intermittent thing until probably the second best president in our complete American history, until President Abraham Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Don't you love that? Amen? Right? He said he's calling on the American people to also, and this is a quote from him, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation. Amen. Lincoln declared it for the last Thursday in November. On June 28, 1870, President Ulysses S. Grant signed into law the Holidays Act that made Thanksgiving a yearly appointed federal holiday in Washington, D.C. On January 6, 1885, an act by Congress made Thanksgiving and other federal holidays a paid holiday for all federal workers throughout the United States. And under President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the date was moved to 1 week earlier. So instead of the fourth week, it was moved to the third week. And that was observed between 1939 and 1941. And for those of you that were alive during then, they didn't like that. Amen? They didn't like that. So that caused some controversy. And so from 1942 onwards, Thanksgiving, by an act of Congress, received a permanent observation date, the fourth Thursday in November. No longer would it be at the discretion of the sitting president. So how about them apples? Amen? Well, I hope you can see that Thanksgiving should be part of our national identity. But we're going back even further today. Amen? So let's, no, we're going past the pilgrims. Somebody said the pilgrims. Are we going way past the pilgrims? Let's take a copy of God's Word and turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, and I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. Chapter 16, all right? And we'll begin reading here in verse 8. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. If you found it, happy birthday, Loopy! Loopy, how old are you going to be, babe? 54, all right, man. Way to go. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. We all got it? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvelous and the judgments from His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give you the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your word. We pray that You would have our minds and our hearts open to receive it. And Lord, we pray if we're struggling with being grumbly, that we would pivot from that and be grateful. Lord, help us be more grateful and less grumbly. Father God, I pray as we go into this coming Thanksgiving celebration week, that it truly would be a week of Thanksgiving. And Lord, we would sow the seeds of Thanksgiving, that we would continue to thank You all the way through Christmas. And then Lord, we would so be used to giving You thanks and thanks and thanks upon thanks, that as we begin the new year in 2023, we would just keep on praising You and thanking You. So Lord, may this be a beginning for some. May this be an encouragement to others. But may this be a reminder to all that we are to be a thankful people. We love You and we praise You. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, don't close your Bibles. We continue on. You may be seated. The Word of God says, verse 19, "When they were only a few in number, very few and strangers in it." Verse 20, "And they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, 'Do not touch My anointed ones, and do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. The trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For He's coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God, for our salvation. And gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Isn't that great? What do we have here? Well, the question you want to ask yourself is, do I have a life of thanksgiving? And if you don't, you need to be scratching the old proverbial head and trying to figure out why. Amen? Do I have a life of thanksgiving? What we have here, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and these verses we read, 8 all the way through 36, some of them we stood for, most of them we didn't. This is the history. The history, basically, a summary of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. Now, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles was originally one book and was written about 400 years before Christ and about 500 years after David's reign. The Chronicles gives the history of God's unfolding redemption from Adam to the Babylonian captivity. So it goes from the creation all the way down to Israel being taken into captivity in Babylon. We remember why they were taken into captivity, right? God told them to straighten up. They didn't straighten up. So He said, well, time to pay the price, right? So they had to pay them consequences. And while this history, we already know this history because this history is recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel, and this history is also recorded in 1 and 2 Kings, the Chronicles is still a book that is mightily unique. Why is that, preacher? Well, because 50% of what is in 1 and 2 Chronicles is not in those other four history books that I just mentioned. Now, 50% is, but this is history. This history of the books of Kings and Samuels. The history is told again in the Chronicles from Adam to the Babylonian captivity for a specific group of people. Well, who's the group? Well, I think you get the flavor here. The history was written for the Jews who came back from the captivity. They'd been a captive. They came back from the captivity. They returned from Babylon. And when they finally got back, they were facing the reality that their nation was nothing like it used to be. Their nation was a far cry from its great history under David, its great history under Solomon. On the return to their city, they found their city was in ruins. They had no protection. They had no wall. And then Nehemiah, he helped them construct the wall. They had no temple. And so Zerubbabel helped them reconstruct a temple. But the temple was very plain, very common, nothing like the glorious temple that Solomon led them to build. And even after they had reconstituted themselves in the land, they kind of looked around at each other and said, you know, we kind of small. They were weak. They were uninfluential. They were vulnerable. They were a plain people. And frankly, they were struggling whether or not they would ever ascend to the glory days that once was their history in the time of David and in the time of Solomon. When they came back, they had a Persian governor. and not at all a Jewish king. They knew that all of this was the result of their forefathers' sins. It was the result of God's hand of judgment. And they wondered if there would ever be any hope for them to become anything great again. And so this history was written to encourage them. This history was given to them from God, that God had been faithful in the past, and that God by nature is faithful, and that God cannot alter himself or his purpose or his plan, and nor can he be unfaithful to his word. And no matter how bleak the Jewish people perceived their situation, this passage was to remind them. This word that we read was to remind them of God's faithfulness in the past, because God is faithful. God's faithfulness in the past, that is the foundation, friend. That is the foundation. That is the encouragement. That is the basis of our trust in his faithfulness in the future. How can we know he's going to be so faithful? Because he's been so faithful, right? He's been so faithful, right? Faithful in the future. And so, very likely, scholars tell us that Ezra penned this sweeping history to remind people of what God had done in the past, and to restore their faith that God would fulfill his promise regarding the land, regarding the people, regarding the priests, regarding worship, regarding salvation, and that God would bring the great anticipated Davidic-like king, the Messiah, in the time of the future. Now, this passage is a lengthy one that we read. We're not going to take it verse by verse. We'd be here till probably past Thanksgiving. You folks would probably be looking a little peaked by then. But we can link this passage very nicely to a summarized passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, "In everything give thanks." Amen? "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, does that resonate with you? Amen? So, if you burn the Thanksgiving turkey this year, if you burn that ham, I mean, if you just forget it and you go off and you're doing something, you're trying to clean the house, you're trying to take care of all this stuff, and you didn't set the timer and you said, "Well, you know, I'm going to remember," and you don't, you forget, and you burn that bird, here are a dozen reasons to be thankful. Number one, salmonella will not be a concern for those of you going to eat that thing. Number two, you know how people overeat during Thanksgiving dinner? There won't be no overeating there. Number three, everyone will, on first inspection, think very highly of you because they'll think that you have Cajun blackened that turkey. Number four, uninvited guests, as they're chewing on that thing, looking around to see if they've got somebody's shoe in their mouth, they will think twice about crashing your Thanksgiving dinner next year. Number five, your cheese, broccoli, lima bean casserole will gain newly found appreciation. Give me another helping of that. Number six, your wonderful pets will not pester you for scraps. They will stay on the floor. Number seven, the smoke alarm was due for a test. Number eight, carving that burnt, tougher than brick bird will provide a good cardiovascular workout for you. Number nine, after dinner, you can transition that burnt bird to the guys, and they can use that bird as they play football in the yard. Number ten, The less turkey Uncle George eats, the less likely he will be walking around with his pants unbuttoned. Amen, that's always. Number 11, you will get to the dessert quicker. And number 12, and probably my most favorite, you will not have to face 3 weeks of turkey sandwiches. Amen? Amen. See, we all need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded that Thanksgiving, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. We should attempt to be thankful. We should pray for a thankful heart. We should encourage each other in having this attitude of thanks in every situation. Now, why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. It is because thankful people give a good testimony, period. Thankful people. There is no better testimony than a thankful, grateful Christian. So as we think about Thanksgiving, let me try to tie thankfulness in with Lordship salvation. Thankfulness in with Lordship salvation, because I think that is what we see in this passage in Chronicles. Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 36, or at least we see Ezra, he's trying to encourage up the people in their obedience. He's trying to encourage them up in their faith. He's trying to encourage them up in their thankful attitude. He's trying to encourage them up in their joy of the Lord. Amen? That's what he's trying to do here. And so then for an obedient, growing Christian, thanksgiving then is an attitude for me. If I apply this to my life, it's an attitude for me in every situation. If you're taking notes, I just have a few short points for you. Point number one, obedience to the will and the word of God. Obedience should breed this attitude of thanks within us. It should breathe it into us. It should breed it into us. Breathe, however you want to say it. See, if we surrender to Christ, if we truly surrender to the Lord, if we truly submit to Him, if we surrender, then giving thanks is not an option. It's not an option for us. It's a we will do it. Not do I think about giving it? No, I'm going to give it because that's who I am, right? When we think about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we're kind of tying that Chronicles passage to, when we study that in the Greek, New Testament Greek, did you know that give thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? That's an imperative verb. That's not an optional thing. It's a command, an imperative verb. It's in the present tense with continuous action. We're to give thanks and continue to give thanks. And so, are we to give thanks for everything? No, not for everything. We're to give thanks in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. In all circumstances, we're to be thankful. In every circumstance, no matter what or where, you can still thank God. Sometimes we do not know whether something is good or bad, but we can be thankful. God is working for our good in everything. In everything. Number two, an obedient life then is an abounding thankful life. An obedient life then is an abounding thankful life. Thanksgiving should overflow from the life of a Christian. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Still with me? Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Now, what can we do in our lives? You know, because you asked me the question, preacher. You asked me the question, do I have a thankful heart? And I'm doing some soul searching as I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I could probably be more thankful as a Christian. I could probably express more gratitude to God for my life. And so I'm thinking about that. And so what can we do in our lives to release this thankful attitude? Would you believe it goes back to the fundamentals? It goes back to the very basics of Christianity. It goes back to prayer. It goes back to praise. It goes back to the Word of God. It goes back to the renewing of the mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's what it goes back to. What are the implications of these spiritual foundational things in our lives? Well, overflowing gratitude, it springs from a life of continuous, genuine praise, prayer, and study of God's Word. That's what happens. See, if thanking God is not natural for you in your prayer life, if thanking God is not natural for you in your praise life, if thanking God is not natural for you when you get into study the Word of God, then you need to do some soul searching. What's up? Right? What's up? How can we not pray? How can we not pray without first giving thanks for all He has done? Or how can we attempt to worship if we do not incorporate joyous thanksgiving into our praise? Or how can we get in God's Word and not be moved to thanking Him for His love, for His grace, for His mercy, for His forgiveness, not to mention His provision and His protection? Right? A father was asking the blessing as usual at breakfast. They were out at one of those toasted yolks, I want to believe. Popular restaurant, overpriced. Short on portions. But big on ambiance, amen. And the father was saying grace for this bountiful provision. And all of the trimmings and everything, right? They finally got the food to the table. Immediately afterward, the same father, he began to grumble about the hard times. He began to grumble about how slow the service was. He began to grumble how the coffee was not hot enough, how the bacon was too thin, and the way the food was cooked and prepared. His daughter, about 10 years old, she chimed in. She interrupted. She said, "Daddy, you think God heard what you said when you prayed a little while ago?" And the daddy said, "Certainly, dear. God hears me when I pray." And then the little 10-year-old girl, she said, "And then did God hear what you said about the bacon and the coffee and the slow service?" The dad kind of dropped his head a little bit, softened his voice. He said, "Yeah, I'm sure He did." Wasn't so confident then. And then the little girl asked this question. She said, "Daddy, which do you think God believes?" Yeah. What naturally abounds in your life? Is it a spirit or attitude of gratitude? Or is it a spirit and attitude of grumbling? Is your prayer of thanksgiving consistent with a life of thanksgiving? Or is your prayer of thanksgiving just kind of an affront, just kind of a facade to a life of being grumbly? I'll tell you what grumbly is. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers." You can have a facade of thanksgiving. But boy, we get past that surface level. What's on the inside? See? For many people, it ain't lining up. And as Christians, the attitude ought to line up with the heart. Amen? Amen. That brings me to my third and final point, and that's this. There are kind of four things that run together. That if you will seek to do these four things, an attitude of gratitude will come out of you. Right? But these things kind of run together. You got to think comprehensively. You got to think, I'm going to do all of these. Now, hey, you may work on one of these 1 week and work on another one of these the next week and maybe work on two the third week and then find yourself after about 30 days that these things start to mesh together in your life and in your attitude. Well, preacher, what are the four things? Let me give them to you. We see them represented here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 for sure. Four inseparable truths. Number one is obedience. Number two is thanksgiving. Number three is peace. And number four is joy. Those things tend to run together. You show me a Christian that's not thankful, I'll show you one that's struggling with obedience. I'll show you one that doesn't have much joy. All right? You get what I'm saying? I'll show you one that lacks peace. You show me a Christian who doesn't have much joy or peace in their life, hey, probably there's an obedience issue and thanksgiving issue. Am I making sense? For many people, the first response in life is criticism or grumbling. That's why I'm so thankful the elections are over. Because that's all those people sow. That's all they sow is, that's all they sow, man. That's all it is. They spend millions and billions of dollars to wind us up. And we sit there and just take it in. Like it just gets crazy. But praise the Lord, it's over. I'm thankful, Jesus. Got a don't have a 2-year break. They'll start back up here in about a year, 14 months. They'll start it again. But at least we got 14 months off, right? Do you know what criticism and our grumbling is a sign of? It's a sign of an ungrateful heart. An ungrateful heart. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, preacher, how do you take that with the COVID business? Well, that's a big stretch for me, man. That's a big stretch. When I think about all the COVID mess, when I think about how hard it's been on the church, not just this church, every church, man. COVID, right? I mean, think about it. If you were a bar in parts of the country, you could be open. But if you were a church, you had to shut down. If you were a big chain retailer, you could be open. But if you were a mom and pop, you had to what? Shut down. Bizarre. Amen? Bizarre. But the final analysis, God's going to use the wackadoo time in American history and world history He did with the Spanish flu. He's going to use COVID to bring glory and honor to His name. Somehow, some way, preacher, how? I don't know, but way above my pay grade. But if I take that passage at face value, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Amen. Are you called according to His purpose? Yeah. Well, then we got to roll with that. Amen. Because He's faithful to what? God's faithful to His Word. He doesn't lie to us about His Word. He's faithful to us about His Word. So if God uses everything to work together for good, then how can we not be obedient? How can we not be thankful? How can we not be peaceful? How can we not be joyful? Right? When trials come, know in your heart. When trials come, know in your heart that they are working. Those trials are working for your spiritual maturity. Those trials are working to make you more like Christ. Those trials are working to improve your obedience. How can we not count the benefit and the end result of those trials as all joy? See, the world will tell you that if you hold your mouth just right, and drive the right car, and use the right kind of shampoo, and live in the right part of the country, or live in the right part of the state, or live in the right part of the city, that everything will be great. I don't care who you are, where you live, what you eat. Trials are coming. Either in one, coming out of one, or about to go in one. Right? Trials are coming. Count them all joy. You don't have to thank Him for it, but thank Him in it. Yes, yes? In John Reynolds' Anecdotes of the Reverend John Wesley, who lived from 1703 to 1791, he tells the story of Wesley's student days at Lincoln College in Oxford. A porter knocked on Wesley's door one evening and asked to speak with him. For those of us that don't remember the time of porters, these fancy hotels have porters, but porter knocked on Wesley's door one evening and asked to speak with him. After some conversation, Wesley noted the man's thin coat, for it was a cold winter night. Wesley suggested that he had better get another coat. And the porter replied, "This coat is the only coat I have in the world, and I thank God for it." Wesley asked the man if he had eaten, and the porter replied, "I've had nothing today but a draught of spring water." That means a drink, for those of you that didn't know. And he says, "I thank God for that." Wesley, growing uneasy in the man's presence, reminded him that he would have to get to his quarters soon, his porter quarters, where the quarters slept. He had to get to his quarters soon or be locked out for the night. Wesley said, "Then what shall you have to thank God for then?" The porter said, "I'll thank Him that I have dry stones to lie upon." Well, Wesley, as he continued the conversation with this porter, was deeply moved by the man's sincerity, and he said to him, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie on. I cannot see what you have to thank God for." And the man replied, he said, "I thank God that He's given me life, and that He's given me being, and a heart to love Him, and a desire to serve Him." After the man had left with a coat from Wesley's closet, some money for food, and words of appreciation for the witness he had made, Wesley wrote in his journal, I shall never forget that porter. He convinced me there is something in religion to which I am a stranger. To which I am a stranger. And friend, I would leave you with this. Don't be a stranger when it comes to gratitude. Don't be a stranger when it comes to a thankful heart. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your truth. And Lord, it's so easy for us to look around and look at our own situation, our own circumstance, and get off on a tangent of being grumbly. But Lord, as believers, we are to be grateful. So Lord, we pray that the person of the Holy Spirit would take this word this morning and would dive it deep down within our hearts and would allow us to ponder on this word, not just today, but tomorrow, next week, next month, as we get into the Christmas, Thanksgiving, going into Christmas holidays. And Lord, may we find a spring in our step And may we find some confidence in who we are in Christ. And Lord, may we live out these four things: obedience, thankfulness, joy, peace. And Lord, may these things just kind of come out of us, kind of be produced by our spiritual walk. And Lord, not that we're manifesting these things or producing these things, but the Holy Spirit within us is making these things happen. We're making right choices. We're making right decisions, good decisions, about being in your word, about praying, about fellowshipping with the saints, about worshiping and praising you. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit just draw all these things out of us. And as they come out of us, may they be a powerful and potent witness to those that are around us that don't know Christ the way we know Christ. And Lord, we pray that as people see that in us, they'll have a sense that they need to make a decision. They will have a sense that something in their life is not right. And Lord, you will continue to sow seeds of salvation, seeds of the gospel in those hearts that are pricked by our grateful attitude. And Lord, we pray that not in just this church, but churches across this land, there would be an attitude of gratitude come forth this coming week. And as we get into the Christmas holidays and celebration, and Lord, people's gratitude will be tested during family gatherings, and their attitudes of gratitude will be tested as they try to fly out to different places and fly back, and it will be tested at the grocery store, and if they choose to get out the day after Thanksgiving, it'll be tested at the stores, and if they choose to eat out during this crazy busy time, their attitudes of gratitude will be tested in the restaurants. And Lord, we pray that we'll pass the tests. That we'll pass the tests. That we'll see somebody's lostness. That we'll see the opportunity to sow a seed of salvation more important than us getting our way or getting here on time or whatever it may be. Thank you, Lord. Praise you today for all that you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. We're going to stand and sing and do it with a thankful heart, shall we? And you may need to come. You may want to come and pray in the altar and lay some things down or pray while we sing, and not sing, but just simply pray, whatever the Lord would have you do. And certainly, if you need to talk to me, I'm down here available for you. And if you're lost, we can help you get that all fixed up today. Amen, amen. You get that person of the Holy Spirit and know what we're talking about. We talk about the Holy Spirit drawing these things out of us, right? Got to have the Holy Spirit first for that. Yep. Got to be saved first for that to happen. Amen, amen. All right, Brother Jeremiah, you lead us.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love will you roam, farther and farther away, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him your burden and you shall be blessed, he will not turn you away, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today, Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today, come with your sins at his feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay, calling today, calling.
Hey, if you're visiting with us, you get to line up first with the senior adults. Amen? All right. So let them visitors in there and get their food. Amen? And I'll back clean up. But get what you want because I'm batting clean up. Amen? All right. Let's thank the Lord for the food today. Amen? All right, let's do it. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your church. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of year. And Lord, the cold weather just kind of reminds us that you are in control. We praise you and thank you for that rain that you've sent. And Lord, we're praying for more rain tomorrow. Just bring it on us, Lord. We want to catch up and end the year square on that rain. So Lord, we pray you just bring us some more down here in Southeast Texas. Water the ground. Fill up the creeks. Just let it get going, Lord. We praise you and thank you for it. Lord, as we transition next door, we pray that the fellowship would be sweet, that the conversation would be edifying, and that, Lord, we just thank you for the food that's been prepared. Pray that you nourish it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And, Lord, may we just enjoy each other's company in the name of the Lord. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Dismissed.